Hello?
Hi, Conrad. So we're good to go.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
I graduated in May 2008 with a degree in film scoring.
Okay. One of the smaller majors at Berkeley, but very intense. What was your principal instrument, by the way?
Viola, actually. I was one of the string players.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if I've gotten a violist, if so, you're my second. Great. All right. Well, hey, we will get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
Definitely. So I currently work as a program director at Techstars. And Techstars is a tech accelerator that's focused on early stage startups as well as a seed investor.
Okay, so I've heard these early stage startups. Actually spoke with a couple people who did that sort of thing. So you said that you're an early seed investor. So again, you invest in the very early stage companies. What other services do you provide besides money? Does Techstars provide?
So as part of our accelerator, we run startups through a 3-month program to help them learn how to build and scale their business to achieve product market fit, basically how to turn that dream and idea into something real, how to build a company out of it.
Got it. Well, let's talk about Techstars a little more, and then we'll get to what you do there. How big a company is Techstars in terms of, like, how many people work directly for Techstars? We're not going to count the startups.
Around 200 people.
Got it. And I think you're in the Boston area, correct?
I am, though Techstars has a presence all over the world.
It does. Okay, like, does it have physical centers then where people come and work? Or is it all virtual coaching?
Both. So our primary headquarters is in Boulder. Though we have like smaller offices, whether that be just like co-working spaces to offices in cities all over the world.
Okay, including Boston then?
Yes.
Cool. And you might try like at any given moment, like about how many startups are working with Techstars?
Oh, wow. Hundreds. Like we have programs going on year round, literally, like I'll run a program and then there'll be another program in another city. We have a cohort of 10 startups going on, like just basically round and round. We're bringing in new startups and working with them.
Gotcha. And it sounds like, again, these are all technology based startups building apps and programs and other sorts, things like that, right? Like software.
It's not just software, actually. So the accelerator that I work with is primarily focused on hardware. And we have software, hardware, social impact. We even have one Techstars accelerator that's focused on music technology in Los Angeles.
Oh, very cool. All right. So, Ed, you said you're a program manager. So can you sort of go to detail? What is it that you do there? What's your responsibility?
Definitely. So I work as a program director, and my role...
Director, sorry.
Oh, that's right. My role is very much helping build the curriculum, helping coordinate a lot of the operations for the accelerator, working to find the next generation startups, the next generation of technology to go through the program, kind of vetting their teams, vetting their business, and figuring out, okay, so can we take these folks to the next level?
So I heard multiple things there. So program director, the sense of, as you said, you're finding new business or new partners, I guess. And you said that, are you the person then who's like in front of them? Because it sounded like there was some sort of like teaching or coaching element there.
Yeah. So between myself and the rest of the team, like each of us usually teaches some classes. I'll have like one-on-one sessions with the founders, and we'll each like work with the founders in various capacities to figure out what it is that they need as a business and help them become successful.
Got it. And I'm a little curious, actually back to Techstars. I was curious with companies like this, like what's the revenue stream? Like is Techstars basically just get a fraction of equity, or is it, do companies pay them? Does someone else pay them?
So it's both. Equity is involved as a part of like being admitted to the accelerator in exchange for an investment. Mm-hmm. Additionally, we do have a number of services that we provide specifically for larger corporations that want to invest more heavily in innovative technologies. So we work with corporations as well as the individual startups.
Got it. So about, I'm sure it varies, but about how many hours a week do you work?
I would say it's definitely 40 and up. I work a lot. There are different phases of the, I think it's actually a lot like being a, you know, a teacher or a professor in that, like, you have semesters where, like, during our 3-month program, it's really, really busy. It's definitely over 40 hours a week. But in the off season, it might be way less. So it's very seasonal.
Got it. Do you mind, actually, often ask people to take us through a typical day, but it sounds like you have these 12-week intensives. Do you mind just kind of take us through, like, step-by-step, like, what do you, and let's not even say from a point of view of the startup, but from your point of view, like, what are you doing in each of those weeks?
So what I'm doing as a part of it is getting ready for any, so I guess the first thing that I would start doing is like looking at logistics for the day, getting ready for any guests that we might have that we're bringing in. If I'm preparing classes, making sure I've gone over the classwork, sending reminders to everybody in case they need to get stuff in, or just letting them know about any changes in the schedule for the day. So I'll do that, usually over a coffee. And once that's done, the startups start coming in. I'll, you know, make some small talk with them, get a sense of where they're at, get a sense of what they're dealing with. And then we'll go into instruction. Depending on the phase of the program that we're in, there might be more instruction or less. Once again, we try to spend, you know, as much time as we can, you know, really delivering kind of the most for the time value. Because as startup founders, as business people, like, there's just so much to get done that we want to make sure we're making really effective use of time. So when we're not giving workshops, I'm either in like a one-on-one session, or I'm helping build relationships with external organizations that might be able to provide the startups business, or might be able to provide the startups partnerships. So basically networking, I suppose, is a good way to put it.
Sure. Got it. Curious, like, so you said there are about 200 people at TechStars. How many in the Boston office?
So we are small autonomous teams. Like, between myself and the managing director, there are two of us. And we also have a second program that's over near Fort Point in near South Station. So there's two there. And then we have a couple of folks who are more sort of executive operating staff who are more working for the central location.
Got it. I was curious, do you know for a company in general, like, how many of these program directors are there?
Ooh, I think we're going to be hitting 40 pretty soon.
Got it. So you're a measurable fraction of the whole TechStars company.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I spoke with people who are there at a company of 20,000. They're one of three who do their own job. But cool.
Yeah, I understand. For big companies, that's very often the case.
Right. So, got it. And you said that, without going much into your history at this point, you said that your focus often is on the more hardware end of technology. Did this sort of come about because of a special knowledge you had, or was it this sort of like you came in there and then it's like, you get to be the hardware person? You just sort of...
That's a great question. So for me, it was because I had a background in the military as well. So it happened to fit in with a particular vertical, a particular segment of aerospace technologies that TechStars wanted at the time. So that's sort of how I ended up in that role. That plus I had worked at tech companies for a while before. So between that, working at tech companies, working at startups, that's sort of how I ended up in that role.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. All right. So, hey, to qualify for these interviews, one of the criteria you have to hit is that you enjoy what you do. So I'd love if you could articulate what is it about being this program director and working with startups that you enjoy?
I think I love just being in a role where I can help other people be successful. And it's endlessly creative. You see, like, all these newest technologies, all these really creative and innovative people who are trying to make it to the next level. They're creating something really special, And knowing that like you can work with them and turn that like dream into reality is like the best part of my job.
Very cool. All right. Well, hey, let's take it back now to 2008. Not sure. Now, and by the way, if your story has a logical starting point before then, let's take it back then. Like, did you do the military before Berkeley? Or?
No, actually, I did it after because Berkeley ain't free.
Very fair. So, yeah, I'd like to sort of put us in your headspace. What were you thinking was going on as you were, say, wrapping up at Berkeley? And then we'll take it one step at a time from where you were then to where you are now.
Yeah, well, I had a choice in front of me. I had done an internship with a post-production studio in Los Angeles before I had left Berkeley. And as I was leaving Berkeley, I had a few options in front of me. I could go to L.A. and, you know, try to find, you know, fame and fortune like so many folks from Berkeley do.
Yeah.
I could I at the time, like in order to pay for Berkeley, I did Army ROTC. So that was my military piece. And I had the choice of going active duty and serving in a full time capacity. And then a third option opened up for me. I was applying for jobs in the local area. And there was a company, Harmonix Music Systems, the folks who made Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
Okay.
And when I got an interview there and I was like, so maybe there's an option three here where I like I love technology. It uses my experience in music that I got from Berkeley. This seems like a win-win. I can use everything. I don't have to move to L.A. I don't have to go, you know, I ended up going to the reserves in the Army. I don't have to go like full-time Army. And that ended up being the solution I went with.
Sure. So you're doing like, yeah, it's technology, but it's music related technology. And you said you love tech. Had you been doing a lot of tech stuff at Berkeley?
I think anybody who's like done any of the film scoring or music synth classes, like, believe it or not, like doing music synth prepares you for so many other things in tech that people might not even think about when it comes to working with hardware, when it comes to working with complex software platforms like Digital Performer or some of these DAWs and the sort of technology experience you need to use them has a lot of applications elsewhere in the tech industry that folks don't always think about.
Gotcha. So, all right, so you go to work for Harmonix. It sounds like a very logical post-Berkeley job. You're not still there, so what happened after that? Let me guess, the economy tanked?
I mean, among other things, right? But yeah. I think – so while I was at Harmonix, I had a chance to get closer and closer with the engineering team over there. Eventually, I started working on their internal engine. And as I did that, they taught me so much, and I kind of – I mean, it's not a computer science degree, but I kind of started to learn on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I was able to gain a skill set that enabled me to start going more in the engineering, software engineering direction.
Got it. And, sorry, I may have just missed. What was the job you were hired in as at Harmonix?
I was hired in as a QA tester.
Got it. Very cool. My wife does that professionally. So, yeah, I know a lot of people, QA is like a starting point. As you say, you learn from there how to code. So, great. So then what was the next step? You became more, did you ever like officially become an engineer there? Or was it more like you unofficially took this on?
Never officially. That's kind of part of why I left. I wanted to go ahead and like get the title, you know what I mean? So I ended up making a transition to another company.
Got it. And how did you end up getting that next job? It was just
so,
putting out applications? Or?
Yeah, just putting out applications. You know, as you spend more time in the industry, you learn to network. You learn to find, like, what are the companies that I want to work for? What are the companies in the area that, like, are looking for the skill set? And kind of went from there.
Got it. So where was where did you end up going?
I ended up working at GSN Games, which is right next to Downtown Crossing and South Station.
You said games. Are they like video games?
So they do a different category of video games. So GSN is a game show network. So they did like mobile and web games.
Got it. And I would put it, so Harmonix was a company, as you said, it made Guitar Hero. So it was still, you could say that you, in a broad sense, you were in the music industry. It sounds like this next job is not so much. Can I just ask quickly, like, was that like a big deal for you, or were you just like, hey, engineer job, I'm there?
Yeah, it was a big deal for me. It's not often that you find a company that has that same junction of music and technology that Harmonix does. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a tough thing for me to do. But I also, you know, after thinking about it, I felt like it was the right thing to do for my career at the time.
Got it. When did you start that job?
Oh, shoot. I need to remember the exact date.
Roughly.
So I'm like looking up my own LinkedIn profile right now just to remember what it was. Let's see here. So I started at GSN in December 2015.
Okay, so you were at Harmonix, if I'm doing the math, for quite a while here, right? That's because you went there straight in 08, so that's like 6.5 years.
You got it.
Got it. So then after 6.5 years, you go to GSN as a, were you officially a software engineer there?
I went there as a QA engineer.
Got it. And then, cool. So you evidently moved on since then. So what was your next?
I'm sorry. I have my dates wrong here. It was actually June 2014, not December 2015. June 2015 is when I left.
Oh, got it. So June of 14. So essentially you were... Still, if you graduate in 08, that's still about six years, and then you're there for a year and a half. Cool. And that, yeah, what was then the next transition?
So GSN is much more of a larger tech company, mm-hmm. and it's a different culture, I think. Like, it's not quite a – it's very different in terms of the size between Harmonix and GSN, and the focus of the development is different. The way that people go through their processes and product development is very different. And after working at Harmonix and working at GSN, it kind of gave me an understanding of what I was really looking for in a job.
Got it. And what were you looking for?
So I had the luxury of having a couple good mentors mm-hmm. through my time in the industry. And the first one told me, it's not enough to have a job, it needs to be the right job, because otherwise, you know, you'll just be unhappy there.
Yep.
So that was one piece. And the second thing that told me is, like, first find a good mentor, then find the cool job and, like, find the technology. Don't chase the money first. Because if you chase the money first, then, like, you might be, you know, making a lot of money, but you'll feel, like, handcuffed to the job, especially if the job isn't necessarily what is right for you. So I thought about that a lot, and that kind of led me to my next position.
Got it. And was this, again, you just hearing stuff about company and applying?
In this case, it was actually a relationship that I had formed at Harmonix. One of the folks who was my first boss there ended up going to more of the startup world. And I talk startup, I mean like 10 or 20 people against the world type of startup, you know.
Gotcha.
So we were talking and he was talking about what he was working on and I got super excited about it.
Cool. So what was that startup?
That was SparkMeter.
SparkMeter. Okay. And how long were you, were you again doing quality engineering?
Yeah, I was there for just short of 2 years.
Got it. I guess, is that a quality engineering job?
Or? Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Cool. And then I'm guessing that was the job before your current one?
Yep, that's right.
I would point out that so far you've been doing, like, you know, quality assurance, quality engineering, and area program director of startups. That's a pretty substantial change. So what's the story behind that?
So while I was at SparkMeter, sort of after I had left corporate for the first time, and I referred to GSM kind of as corporate, I was pretty depressed, honestly. Like, it's the first time that I had been in that kind of environment, and, you know, I guess coming from the creative background and being a musician, it sort of helped teach me, like, okay, so where do I belong? Like, where do I fit in all this?
Sure.
So I started doing a lot of volunteering. I started focusing on, like, I wanted to find ways that I could give back with technology and find ways that maybe I could teach or maybe I could, like, just find ways to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me involved with Operation Code. I did join the reserves and I did do a deployment while I was at Harmonix. So, I had like a bit of a cultural infusion from the military and a lot of sympathy and a lot of, you know, a lot of thoughts about, you know, what veterans go through when they're coming home from overseas. So that's how I started getting involved with that.
Gotcha. So that you found out about Techstars?
Yeah, that's correct. So Operation Code started getting big very, very quickly. Like, we started expanding to chapters all over the country and soon, like, even outside of the country. And as that started to get bigger, we got accepted to a local tech accelerator called Mass Challenge. It basically just started getting bigger and bigger. And then my role, like helping build this volunteer organization, started becoming more and more. I became chief of staff. I became COO. And like, as that started to expand, it started having me interact more and more with the local sort of startup entrepreneurial community.
Got it. And then, as you said, as you got, I'm just sort of curious as to how you ended up, getting this job.
Yeah, so it was mostly because I occupied, I think, some very specific niches. Like, if you were to look at a Venn diagram, if you look at folks who have a background in startups, and folks who have a background in engineering, and then the folks who have a background in military, that's a very, very rare subsegment. And it happened to be that Techstars needed that at the moment.
God. And it was just like they knew you and they were like, hey, you should come work here?
Mass Challenge actually was the big thing. So Mass Challenge got me involved with sort of the startup ecosystem. And also as part of my sort of giving back stuff, I was working with an initiative called Patriot Bootcamp, which is focused on helping veterans become entrepreneurs. And as a part of that, I started, like, first I went through the program, then I started mentoring there, and that got me, I think that got me closer to Techstars.
Gotcha. Very cool. So you started your job, what, late 17? Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Very good. And you were hired into your current role.
That's correct.
Very cool. All right. So, hey, let's move on to the third part of the interview of three. So my next question for you, and there's no right or wrong answer, is these days, what, if anything, is your current relationship with music?
So I find that, like, what music helped me the most with is it's very much that alignment between empathy and understanding the perspectives and emotions of others, but also there's a rigor and a discipline about it in terms of how to organize, especially when you're composing, you're looking at form, you're looking at timbre, you're looking at how to make all these different pieces work together and create an emotion. And I think that comes to what good product design is about. And the more time that I spent in the tech industry, the more parallels that I saw between music composition and building good products, good design.
That's wonderful. And you just answered the question I was going to ask you next, but not the one I just asked you, which is, are you doing any music these days?
I've barely had any time with Operation Code and Techstars and everything else I'm doing. I'm trying to finish my MBA right now. So, like, I am sad to say that I have let that slip by the wayside a little bit.
Understood. No worries. As I said, no right or wrong answer there. My wife is in software QA, and she majored in biology and English. So,
understood.
Now, I would say now you've talked a lot about that interplay between music and technology, and how music gives a lot of good experience directly working with technology. That's great. So, but let me just ask the full question. And then see if there's anything else you want to add, which is, assuming you would have gotten a bachelor's degree somewhere, but is there anything you feel that your Berkeley education experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Oh, wow. Like, so it's funny because when I look back on it, the more I realize that I would not be where I am today at all if I had not majored in music. It's easy to be like, oh, I should have had the hammer nail. Like, okay, everybody's getting a STEM degree. I'm going to get a STEM degree. Or everybody's getting a business degree. I should get a business degree. But the more I look back on it, the more I look at my degree from Berkeley, and I'm like, this was the exact degree that got me where I am now. And that's for a few different reasons. I think that one thing that folks don't always take into account with startups is that startups are a lot like a rock band. They are a lot like a band or a string quartet. they are a small group of people where you need to be like, you need to have confidence in the technical like acumen they have, and you also want to know that you can hang out with them, and you also want to know that you can work well together, right? So like having that kind of early gig experience 100% relates to startups. I mean, like it even got to the point, like when we're talking about equity and we're talking about team dynamics and organizational behavior, you know, the thing that I think about is the Beatles. I think about how each of the, you know, all the bands, all the great bands that I've, you know, ever, you know, studied at Berkeley. When I think about improvisation, when I think about all those things, I see like direct comparisons between that and what we deal with in the tech industry.
Gotcha. That's good. So you feel like the music gave you insight into both the tech side and the interpersonal dynamics of the business side.
Yeah, and I think that that's the big advantage. I think that's the key like differentiator, is because music, especially music composition type fields, are critical where you need to have that organizational mind, and you need to be able to work well with other people, and you need to be able to like communicate with empathy, whether that be sometimes that's with your music, sometimes that's you know, with how you talk and speak with others. But like all those elements are necessary to be a really effective musician, I think. And all those things are also necessary in the tech industry to build effective products.
Gotcha. Okay, that's great. Wait, let's turn the question around now, though. Because, right, Berkeley gives that one degree, a Bachelor of Music, and you went there knowing that. And indeed, as you say, you feel like it set you up very well for your current career. But all that said, is there anything where you look back at your education, you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't. Anything missing or incomplete?
So I would say career development. Now, I'll add that, like, I don't expect Berkeley to help me, like, with like, career development in terms of, like, what I'm doing now. It's totally, like, different than the mission that Berkeley has. But I would say that, like, learning to sell yourself, learning to network, learning a lot of the soft stuff. I'm like a natural introvert, so some of that, you know, I learned, you know, just kind of by getting stuffed up here and there. Some folks, it happens naturally for me, like just getting a better sense of how I could, you know, project yourself, you know, market yourself, promote yourself. That, I think, was an area where I needed a lot of help.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. I guess my next question for you is that you got on this career path, you know, pretty much straight off, right? I mean, sure, it started off in music tech, and then it went more to, you know, more pure tech, and then you decided, as you said, that you really liked the idea of, you know, being part of a community and helping people, and, you know, helping people succeed, and moved on to your current job. But again, that happened in large part because of your previous experience. A lot of folks coming out of Berkeley don't find that path right away, and let's say there's even people in their last year at Berkeley staring out into the big scary world and being like, oh my god, what comes next? So for like for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
That's a great question. I think that for the groups who are looking at Berkeley and they're wondering like, what comes next, where do I go now? You know, do I go travel across the country to LA? Do I go to New York and go seek my fame and fortune? Do I like continue working on, you know, continue doing gigs and like sitting where I am now? The number one thing that I would say is be open to new experiences, but also do not feel like because you started something that you can't switch. Be flexible, be iterative. Like when you feel like you've learned as much as you can from doing something, then do not hesitate to go and like try something else. Because that's the only way that you'll eventually find a role that you feel comfortable in. There are so many people who spend 10 to 20 years at a job because it's a job and because it pays a salary, and all the time, like with their love of music or their love of art or their love of, you know, whatever they're passionate about, that always becomes the side thing for them. Some folks, that's the right thing. I could never live that way.
Gotcha. It makes a lot of sense. And let's focus in a little bit now. Because, man, I'm trying to think what your job's almost certainly going to be in its own category. And I guess I put you in tech as opposed to education. But my point is, you're essentially my first program, you know, startup tech program director. And I don't know if you looked at the other BerkeleyLimited.com website, but everything's, you know, indexed by people's careers. Point being, I think you're my 139th interview. No one's listening to all 139. The people who've gotten this far in the interview are maybe ones who are thinking, like, yeah, this is a cool-sounding career. Like, it's not just sitting there coding, but it's helping businesses. It's, you know, you, as you say, using a lot of the skills that you got at Berkeley. So for someone who might be interested in something like this, so do you have any specific advice for them?
Yeah, definitely. So if you like, you know, being part of a band, if you like being part of a small group of people, you know, you against the world, taking on like a really big challenge, startups are a great place to be. They're absolutely a great place to be. You're going to take some risks. You're going to eat ramen for a while. There are going to be some lean times, but like it's the highs and the lows. And I have to say, you know, like it's been an experience that like, if I could go back, I would do the exact same thing.
Gotcha. And any specific advice in terms of like maybe how to get into the field?
Yeah. I think the key thing here is, to look at yourself and look at the experiences that you've had and figure out what your superpower is. And that can sometimes take time. Sometimes that means you need to bounce between different career fields. Sometimes that means you need to work with a lot of different people. It can take some time. And when you figure out what it is that people know you for and what you know others for, and you figure out like, okay, so this is my area. This is my area of expertise. I'm not just talking about music. I'm talking about just like if I'm with a group of people, like there are some folks who are the charmers. There are some folks who are more introverted, but they're also like really deep thinkers. Like figure out where you are in that. And when you figure out where you are in that, it'll be easier to find like the other people who like are part of your group, who are part of like you each complement each other with different skills. Once you do that, regardless of the career that you choose to go with, like you'll have a far better time.
Gotcha. Well, that's great. Well, hey, Kendra, I have one last question for you, which is you have the mic. Is there anything we missed? Anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, I want to say that, like, the experience that you get in music, there's a lot of, like, people who are like, okay, so you got a degree in music. That's like a degree in philosophy or underwater basket weaving or whatever. And it's like, no, like, what the tech industry needs right now, especially if you're watching the news, what we need most in organizations, in business, are folks with empathy, are folks who know how to effectively communicate, are folks who understand how to work in small teams. Everything you've learned at Berkeley does that.
Oh, that's a great note to end on. Well, hey, Conrad, I'm glad that you could make the time to have this conversation this evening. I really enjoyed what you had to say.
It's my pleasure, and I'm happy to, you know, help out with whatever. I hope this helps some folks on their journey.
Thank you. Look for a message from me in the very near future, and best of luck with everything.
You too, Kevin. Hey, take care.
Yep, bye.